This is episode 6 of Everyday Wellness, the Gut Whisperer, Tina Johnson. Changing your gut microbiome changes everything. I'm Dr. Kelly Donahue, clinical health psychologist, here with my co-host, Cynthia Thurlow, nurse practitioner and functional nutritionist. Let's get started. Welcome to Everyday Wellness. Wellness is the result of the decisions that you make every day. It's your mindset and the thoughts you believe. Wellness is the food you put in your body and the relationship you have with yourself and others. Wellness is your work and meaning. Join us on Everyday Wellness as we explore ways that you can choose wellness today.
Hello, hello. This is Everyday Wellness. And today we have our friend Tina Johnson, who is a nutritional therapist and a registered nurse with over 25 years of experience in critical care medicine. She had a health scare nearly 10 years ago that led her down the path of nutritional healing when medicine failed her. And this resulted in her training to become a nutritional therapy practitioner who specializes in gut health, the microbiome, and celiac disease. She's well known within her community as the Olive Lady, which I love. And Tina is a master fermenter and frequently teaches classes on how to ferment anything, but those olives of hers are to die for. When she's not working at helping people change their gut health, Tina can be found playing her piano or out in the garden growing delicious organic foods. Tina, welcome. We're so excited to have you here this morning.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's so lovely to be here.
Absolutely. You know, and I love, you know, that kind of dichotomy of, you know, your Western medicine training and then, you know, your functional training. And so I'd love to hear how that kind of, you know, how that transition actually happened. I think because we share that, I always like to hear other healthcare providers' journeys.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to talk to another nurse who's also come down the same path. Mm-hmm. So basically for me, I was an extremely healthy woman in my 40s. And was walking down the street one day in an icy day, slipped on some ice, simple ground level fall, shattered my spine.
Oh my gosh.
I was healthy. I was training every day with my horse. I was hoping to advance through the ranks with my horse. And I didn't understand how this happened. And I saw actually 5 different doctors. And one of them used to tell me every time I saw him, "You are the healthiest person in my practice. Why did this happen to you?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Isn't that your job to figure that out?" So eventually I saw a naturopath. She heard my story, tested me for celiac disease, and it turns out I had undiagnosed celiac disease, which led to severe osteoporosis.
Oh my gosh.
So my bones were quite brittle at the time. Since have corrected that, but when I realized that my food could be causing me to have such issues, I totally dove down that rabbit hole, found the Nutritional Therapy Association, became a nutritional therapy practitioner, and now I'm fully on board with the holistic ways and understand that medicine just isn't looking at the root cause of disease anymore. Mm-hmm. And most doctors that I talk to don't even understand celiac disease. Right. So that's been my focus, that and understanding how the microbiome and the gut is literally what steers the entire health of the human being. So gut health kind of became a focus when I started to eliminate foods from my diet and other types of issues arose, issues like SIBO and Epstein-Barr. And I couldn't understand if I was eliminating the grains and the gluten that were causing me the initial issue, then why was my gut still compromised? So I started to do studying, and I studied and went to every single conference I could on SIBO, learned everything I could, helped to develop protocols for a lot of my clients. And then I discovered that those of us with celiac disease are predisposed to things like SIBO and Hashimoto's. And because the gut is so compromised, both the small intestine and as well as the large intestine is often full of different types of bacteria that our bodies really cannot function well with. You know, through the NTA, I learned that proper digestion is key, but it all literally starts in the gut. So I basically went down that rabbit hole and tried learning everything I can so that I can now help others as well as keeping myself healthy.
Well, it must be innately frustrating. I know even during my nurse practitioner training that there was very little education devoted to celiac. It might have even been very cursory, you know, let alone SIBO. So I'm sure for you, having gone, you know, undiagnosed for so many years, I'd love to hear, you know, from your perspective, was there a time in your life that you can kind of pinpoint when that health was impacted so significantly that it made you much more prone to an autoimmune disorder?
You know, that's what all the SIBO-trained folks say is, what was that one particular moment? What was the food poisoning that you had? And there really wasn't one for me. And I think that's why my case is so indicative of why we need to dig deeper, because there wasn't an actual episode of food poisoning. I did teach nursing in Vietnam, so I spent a summer there eating all sorts of foods, and I had a couple of bouts of vomiting, but it wasn't something that I would anticipate would cause such a huge issue in my gut further down the road. So I cannot pinpoint one particular reason why I got SIBO. The only thing that I can say is, as I started to change my microbiome by changing the foods in my diet, the overgrowths, I think, took over. And that's one reason why I started to dig deeper into the microbiome education, is because with nutritionists, we're so focused on eliminating certain foods, which I totally stand behind, but sometimes eliminating those foods can create bigger issues as well.
Absolutely. You know, the longer, and Kelly, please chime in. I think that the longer that I do this work, the more I'm humbled. I mean, truly, truly humbled at how those delicate balances, and they really are delicate, when they're disrupted, it impacts so many things.
Absolutely.
So when you have clients that come to you, especially with your niche, are there specific complaints or concerns that they express that kind of allow you to kind of narrow in on this focus over anything else?
You know, it can be anywhere from emotional disorders, weight gain, lots of digestive disorders, whether that's you know, I never seem like to be digesting my food, or my farts smell in the evening, or I'm bloated all the time. You know, it's the very typical things that people run to their doctors for. I see it all the time when I look at patients' charts when I'm working in the hospital. It's all the very same thing. But the bottom line is first of all, what's their diet look like? Is it loaded with sugar? Is it loaded with processed foods? How many vegetables do they eat? Do they tolerate eating vegetables? And so, you know, it's such a variety of things, but I really try to dial deep into looking at what is their gut telling me, and try to start from there.
You're kind of the gut whisperer.
Yeah, I kind of am. Actually, I kind of am.
I was struck when you said some people really can't even tolerate vegetables. Can you talk a little bit more about that and tell us what you do for those types of folks?
Absolutely. So I know that seems really surprising, but there are so many different types of vegetables that can create bloating and other issues for people that have simple overgrowths. And so they just think, oh, well, I have a sensitivity to these foods. Well, it's not necessarily a sensitivity to those foods. It's actually that you maybe have too many methanogen type bacteria in your gut, and that creates, they cannot tolerate that. And so they create more gas, and so that makes the person feel more uncomfortable when they eat things. So it's pretty much when someone tells me that they cannot tolerate something, including grains, including gluten. Now, I have celiac disease, and I understand, I've done all of the training that basically shows gluten is not healthy for any human being. It breaks apart the gut junctions. It's just not a healthy food. However, when people start eliminating foods, that's a huge red flag for me, that they need to dig deep and find out, where's the overgrowth coming from? What's going on with their gut? How lacking is their microbiome? So do we need to just rebuild the microbiome to get them back to the point where they can eat more foods? I really frown on telling people, eliminate all of these foods from your diet, because then we go down a completely different pathway of, you know, eating disorders, and people feel isolated because they can't go out to a restaurant and eat. So I try to look at the whole picture of this individual and try not to make their life utterly miserable while they're, you know, going through therapy.
And I think that's really the key is, you know, creating changes that are going to be sustainable or are not going to put someone in a position where you mentioned not being able to go out to dinner or enjoy a meal with their family. I know even, you know, personally, and Kelly and I were talking about this before we jumped on, I'm in the midst of a 6-month elimination diet. And, you know, some of the foods make it a little more challenging, but it's amazing when you know that your safe foods are meat and vegetables and you go out to a restaurant, there's no excuse for me not being able to find something to eat.
Exactly.
But it's all that mindset piece too. And even with my own clients, I'll say, focus on what you can eat and not what you can't. Because if you get focused on the
weight gain is one of many symptoms that our hormones are in decline, especially as we navigate perimenopause into menopause. Dr. Anna, who is a great friend of mine, is an OBGYN who's treated thousands of women just like you and I who experience increasing dryness and even pain in the bedroom as they get older. Jolva is the solution Dr. Anna formulated for her own clients, and it has since been loved by over 100,000 women. It's a feminine cream with DHEA that helps the body regenerate moisture from the inside out. 92.8% of Jolva users experienced a significant improvement in the first 4 to 8 weeks. Get 10% off your first purchase of Jolva by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's dranna.com, Cynthia, and get 10% off your first purchase.
I've been using MitoPure for the last 2 years, and I've added this to my routine for multiple reasons. Number one, it's a foundational supplement for me and my family. It keeps things simple, and I know that I cannot get enough of urolithin A in my food to derive the same benefits. And if you're not familiarized with urolithin A, it's a signaling molecule, but it's also actively involved in anti-aging, energy production. And I take Timeline because of its remarkable healthy aging solution that activates key critical cellular pathways in my body. It's a total game changer for healthy aging. I alternate between using the soft gels and powder, depending on whether or not I'm traveling. And we know that restoring cellular energy is a key to enduring health. And this is concluded in a recent publication in Nature Metabolism, which is a top scientific journal, identifying that newly energized cells may provide many more years of healthy life to people. Yet as we age, we know that cellular energy production naturally declines and reduces our prospects of optimal health and longevity. That's the great thing about Timeline is you can restore cellular energy and support healthy aging. I've noticed the biggest improvements in my energy and sleep levels. We know that Timeline is clinically shown to give our cellular energy generators, the mitochondria, new power. And when taken daily, it replaces aging mitochondria, so it upregulates mitophagy and rebuilds new ones, or mitogenesis. Timeline is the only nutrient that can do what it does. So Timeline renews your cells to a more powerful state. My listeners can get 10% off your first order at timeline.com/Cynthia. That's 10% off at timeline.com/Cynthia. I know you're going to love this product. The latter and not the former, you're really going to struggle with those changes.
That's so very true. So very true. And people just really struggle with the I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to empower people to make wise choices that help their health versus, you know, yeah, it's so easy to go grab that ice cream, but let's maybe look for something that's a little bit of a better choice that is going to help fuel your body and feed your body versus do more damage.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to that same piece of, you know, if you look at food as fuel, and I'm sure Kelly can speak to this in greater detail because I'm sure you do a lot of this work with your own patients, but looking at food as fuel versus looking at food as an emotional, I don't want to use the word crutch because it sounds judgmental, but if that's how you utilize food, then you're going to have a greater difficulty being able to make those changes for yourself, even if it's a short-term effort, than the people that look at it as, okay, it's all about putting good quality food in my body that'll make it run efficiently so that I'll feel good and have more energy and whatever else they're looking to achieve.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think so many times people turn to the foods that are inherently bad for their gut, things that do have wheat and do have a lot of processed sugar and unhealthy oils, those things that can contribute to a leaky gut. So those are often the go-to foods for coping. And in addition to what you both were saying about being able to go out and socialize and be with friends, I also think it's super important to be around others who understand this and recognize it. And for me, that's one of the places where podcasts come in, so that I can get in touch with those people who are understanding that I need to do this to have a healthy gut, or I need to eliminate this, maybe just short term, rather than my current group of friends who might not understand it, and worse yet, might try to potentially even sabotage or make fun of my efforts. I'm wondering if you encounter that type of issue with your clients, Tina?
You know, I do. You know, everyone essentially wants to be helpful, but everyone also has a different view as to what is healthy. We are currently in a society that thinks that a vegan diet may be healthy for some, and a paleo diet might be healthy for others, and the ketogenic diet might be healthy for some. And, you know, so you've got people who think that they understand what is healthy, and they try to encourage everyone to do that. And I oftentimes have clients bring their family and or friends to the office so that everyone's on board and can support them through this journey. And I find that having a support system is an important part of their healing process. And, you know, it's fascinating. As you start to dig deeper, people don't really understand what's healthy food out there. Mm-hmm. And it just, it blows my mind. Of course, I'm very deep into this type of work, but it blows my mind when I walk into a grocery store how much food in there is processed as a processed product. It's not truly food anymore. You know, how much of our food is poisoned, how much of it just doesn't nourish the body at all. And so many people don't understand that aspect of it. So as nutritional therapists, we have a lot of work to do out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds as if you initially focus on those symptoms that brought the client in and try to figure out what might be causing it in terms of eliminating some of those foods. Could you talk about where you go from there?
So I do. I do start with diet. The first appointment, usually we start with diet. We look at, I do a timeline on people and look at their health history from the beginning. Is there an actual thing that caused their issues? You know, are they stressed out? Do they sleep poorly? You know, did they go through a divorce and all of a sudden now all of their gut issues were triggered? So I look at the whole thing and start by changing the diet and try to kind of get things calmed down. After that, if we're having success with that, sometimes I'll just stick with diet. But more often than not, I try to dig deeper. Let's dig deep. Let's not spend 3 years working with me. I like to give people a 6-month, 9-month package and get them out of my office, basically. You know, teach them, teach them everything I know. I don't want people to have to continually rely on this. I want to teach them what their body needs and then set them free and let them fly away and have that knowledge base, because that's empowering. And then if they, you know, need me in the future, they travel someplace to pick up a parasite, they come back and see me and we can take care of that. But, you know, it's more empowering when you teach people how to listen to the signals their body is sending them and how to understand what those are saying. And so once I reach the next phase after the diet, if the diet doesn't work alone, then I start digging deeper and doing some testing options, stool testing. I'll test the microbiome. I'll do some blood testing on them to see what else is going on. You know, have they got an overgrowth in their gut that has created so much of an issue that they're not digesting, they're not absorbing their food, and now they've got Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting conundrum that once you don't have the nutrition that your body needs, how all of these different types of labels, also known as diagnoses, start popping up. And I try to stay away from labels. I don't treat people as a nutritional therapist. So I really don't like to say, oh, this person's coming in so that I can take care of her lupus. That's not what works for me. I start looking at the nutrition. What is it that their body needs, and go from there?
I think that's wonderful. I believe, and I could be incorrect, but you trained with Tom O'Brien?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Love Tom, Dr. Tom. Yeah. He's great.
He's fantastic. Just out of curiosity, I'd love to know what type of stool testing you use. Are you on the GI MAP bandwagon, or do you have other modalities that you prefer to use?
I like the GI MAP and OAT tests the best. I think the GI MAP is probably the best test that we currently have. And I say currently because I know that the technology is changing all the time. And as of right now, it's probably the best test that we offer. And the OAT test I find is a better test for Candida. It's one of those things that if you don't find answers using that test, then sometimes I'll go to something different. But for right now, that is what I choose. And the last week alone, I found, oh my goodness, salmonella poisoning. I found, I see strep and staph infections all the time. I found TB this last week. So, it's fascinating to me what we harbor in our stool. And based on the microbiome, your body really wants to try to keep you in a homeostatic state where it tries to keep you healthy. But then we get these bacterial overgrowths and you get this low-lying endotoxin or toxemia, if you will, into the body, and people just feel puny. And there's really no other way to describe it. And if you can knock down those overgrowths, rebuild the good bacteria to what we assume, now we truly, the microbiome science is really quite new. So we assume we know what the gut needs. You can usually get people back to a state of optimal health. And that's my ultimate goal. And then teach them what are the foods, what prebiotic foods can they have? And working with SIBO clients, prebiotics are a huge bone of contention with a lot of practitioners. They don't want prebiotics around. I'm of the opposite theory. I want a lot of prebiotic foods for these people because we need to rebuild the microbiome rather than kill it off when we're trying to attack a particular bug. So it's really fascinating for me that we have to dig deep into the microbiome. Once we use these stool tests like the GI MAP, then where do we go from here?
Right, right. And it's funny, I totally geek out over GI MAP. I've been using that for about 13, 14 months. And I think it's one of the most powerful tests we have at our disposal, really. And even with my clients, when I'm talking to them and explaining, some of the findings, the very first one that I ran, I had someone come up positive for C. diff who had been sick as stink for a while and came up negative for SIBO. And I remember she took the results to her primary care provider at my request and reviewed them with her. And the primary care provider said, there's no way this test is valid.
Right.
So they sent off a culture, which, as we know, is not definitive, whereas DNA testing is. And long story short, this young woman was smart enough that she didn't take her primary care provider's dismissal. She then went to a GI doctor who said, I think this is probably one of the most powerful tests I've seen yet. And I totally agree with this nurse practitioner that you're working with. That's fantastic. But I do agree with you that there's obviously limitations to everything. But I think it's nice to have a bit more information. And, certainly for those of us that have got all this Western medicine training, some of these bugs, you think to yourself, well, I didn't know that you would be excreting that in your stool. For me, there's been a lot of moments where I've had to go back and kind of scratch my head and go back to my microbiology days to just remember how prevalent these things can be in our bodies. So I think that's wonderful that you're enjoying that that technology at your disposal within your own practice as well.
I've always said that if I literally could win the lottery, I would love to do a study. Having been a former ER nurse, I used to watch people come into the ER all the time with staph infections. What does their stool look like is what I'm thinking. Are these people, do they have such a huge toxemia going on with staph in their gut that they can't seem to, get rid of these staph infections? I mean, those are the questions that pop up in my head. And I'm sure they do you too, Cynthia. I mean, you've seen these patients before. And I would just, I feel like if I could just take a certain part of the population and do these stool tests on them and pay for them to be done and then study them, it would be the most fascinating study. But I think there's just so much out there that medicine doesn't understand. And there's so much, the science is always changing. And with the study of the microbiome now, there's just so much we do not know. And I truly believe in 20 years, we'll be able to probably not have as much disease if we truly look at the microbiome. I really believe that's where all of health will be heading. Now, whether Western medicine will embrace that, I really am not that positive thinking that way. But, you know, I would hope that eventually sometime that they will get on board that bandwagon. But it tends to be that if they can't make a drug for that, they don't want to be involved. As someone with celiac disease, I'm really dismayed at the fact that they're trying to create a drug that will cure celiac disease, knowing full well that that's not going to happen because it is a genetic disorder. So, kind of frustrating.
Yeah, totally. So you have these test results, and we all know that there's individuality in our genetics and in how we express things. So how do you take those tests and then create foods that work for people? So you mentioned probiotics and prebiotic foods. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between probiotic and prebiotic foods and how you use them?
So probiotic foods, I actually, with a lot of my gut clients, I don't use them initially, just because a lot of people with overgrowths also have histamine issues, and probiotic foods can create more issues with those who have histamine issues. I do use a lot of prebiotic foods, but I use foods versus prebiotic supplements because you can kind of control them a lot better. So someone having an artichoke heart on their salad, for example, probably won't have as much of an issue as if I gave them a capsule of inulin or something that would actually cause them to be bloated. So I really encourage them to start looking at foods as a part of their healing and make choices. And then I also send clients home with recipes and encourage them to, maybe make this for dinner. And that's going to be a prebiotic-rich food. And then eventually, once we get through I don't want to say the killing phase, but that's kind of what we call it once we take care of the bad bacteria that's in their gut. Then we really start to target some prebiotic foods. And that's a tricky area because depending on the type of bacteria you're trying to create, probiotic foods can sometimes even cause an overgrowth of others. And so you have to know exactly where your probiotic foods are coming from. I do a lot of fermentation in my home, and I have great success with a lot of recipes, but I encourage my clients to buy probiotic-made foods that we kind of have a little better control over, knowing what it is, versus doing their own. And then eventually I'll teach them how to make their own probiotic foods, fermentation, go into maybe some kombucha if they don't have a candida overgrowth, maybe some sauerkraut, that type of a thing. And eventually have them utilizing foods versus the supplements so that they can rebuild their gut, to achieve that level of health that they're looking to achieve.
I love that. I wish that we were not separated by, the vast United States, because I always see your posts on doing, fermentation classes and things of that nature. But what an incredibly empowering item to kind of add to your repertoire that you can offer to your clients. I can just imagine how wonderful it must be for them if they undertake the opportunity to,
Mighty Maca is a superfood drink mix full of 30 plus natural ingredients, and it was formulated by Dr. Anna Kabeca during her healing journey. Mighty Maca Plus ingredients, which include nourishing ingredients like organic maca powder, turmeric, quercetin, broccoli, parsley, trans resveratrol, pomegranate extract, and more, were carefully selected for immune support to sustain energy, provide mental clarity, and improve recovery. It also tastes delicious. It supports healthy detoxification and alkalinity in the body, balances hormones, fights free radicals, and neutralizes lactic acid, all while increasing your energy and vitality. It helps improve your digestion and reignites your libido. It's a powerful superfood drink mix that needs to be part of your daily routine. And Dr. Anna is offering my listeners 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's 10% off your first that's 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. It's delicious and nutritious. Today's podcast is sponsored by NutriSense. It combines cutting-edge technology and human expertise so you can see how your body responds to different types of nutrition, stress, exercise, sleep, and where you are in your menstrual cycle in real time. And by pairing a continuous glucose monitor with their app and expert nutritional guidance, NutriSense can help you reach your health goals. And the best part is it's not just a program where they send you the CGM and you have to figure it out on your own. Each subscription plan includes 1 month of free expert nutritionist support. Your nutritionist will work with you one-on-one, interpreting your data and providing customized advice to help you reach your health goals. The last time I had my CGM on, my registered dietitian and I troubleshooted over some specific concerns that I had. And whether you're aiming to lose weight, stabilize your energy, or just feel better overall, NutriSense offers the guidance and support you need. And lasting sustainable change takes time and can be achieved through a longer-term subscription. That's why I encourage my patients and clients to consider 3, 6, or 12-month subscriptions where it's actually less expensive and allows you to not only achieve your goals, but also to ensure that you stick to your healthy lifestyle for the long term. As I've mentioned before, I have found the CGMs I have used through NutriSense to be incredibly insightful, specifically to carbohydrate tolerance. I would not have known that plantains spiked my blood sugar without this information. It's also been hugely helpful for tailoring to workouts and sleep quality. And so for me, even though I am metabolically healthy, I find the insights to be particularly helpful to tailor my lifestyle changes to my blood sugar. Visit NutriSense.io/EWP and use the code EWP for $30 off plus 1 month of free nutritionist support. Be sure to let them know you're a listener of the Everyday Wellness podcast when they ask you how you heard about them. This is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health and one of my top recommendations for all of my patients and clients.
You know, ferment some vegetables or ferment some tea and make kombucha, how wonderful that would be and empowering for them to be able to do it themselves.
Absolutely. Because, you know, you can go out and buy this stuff. It's almost readily available everywhere. But there's something about creating, it's kind of like growing your own vegetables. You know, you make it, you nurture it, and then you get to enjoy it. And it's very empowering.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also really makes it part of their lifestyle in that regard. It's not something they're just doing as a short-term fix. This is the way that they're going to live their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's my ultimate goal. You know, I can try to get someone healthy, but if they're not willing to stick with it and make those lifestyle changes, because sadly we live in a very toxic society. Our gut health is being assaulted every day by the foods that are available to us. And so we really, truly have to make a concerted effort to focus on our own gut health. And I think by teaching them, you know, what's that old saying? Teach someone how to fish, you feed a village for the rest of, you know, eternity. And so teaching for me is the probably the cherry on top, if you will, because I see that aha moment. I see that light bulb come on. And that is what fuels my joy, so to speak.
That's awesome. Can you tell us what the biggest misconceptions are about gut health that you see in your clients or just in our society today?
It really depends on whether you're looking at it holistically or looking at it from medicine. I think I'm a little bit saddened that a lot of gastroenterologists don't have a good understanding of the gut. And I think eventually that will come. The microbiome is so very important. I've had so many GI docs say probiotics are not a good thing to take. Well, they can be. They actually can be super helpful. And when I see medical doctors put people on antibiotics without encouraging them to get on a Saccharomyces boulardii probiotic to counteract the effects that the antibiotics are going to do to their gut, that just saddens me. So I think the biggest misconception is that the gut doesn't matter. It truly does matter. And if you want to get to the root of your health issues, you have to really dig deep and look at the gut. So, I keep preaching, I keep talking. I don't know if anyone's listening out there as far as from a Western medicine perspective. And for me, what that looks like is I'll share with one of the docs that I work with, for example, hoping they'll spread it to their community. Wow, check out this. This is what I've discovered, and how fascinating is it that, for example, people with endometriosis are shown to have an overgrowth of E. coli into the uterus, and the uterine blood is actually full of E. coli. And that's why these people have all of this pain and this overgrowth is because of the bacteria. And they look at me like I've got five heads, you know? That's like, it's crazy. So, you know, that's the biggest misconception. It really, everything starts in the gut, and we really need to start really looking at this, almost as, pardon the expression, but almost as if the Bible of the body, that's where it all mm-hmm. starts. It's going to mm-hmm. teach us so much.
Well, I think, you know, certainly with Western medicine training, we aren't exposed to these kinds of concepts. But I find that the colleagues of mine that are most receptive are often those that have undergone some type of a health challenge. And it could be something significant or something insignificant, depending on how you're looking at it. But usually it's been some kind of an insult. There's a nurse practitioner who's actually in the LA area that I got acquainted with over social media. And, you know, she had a health issue and has started to kind of change her mindset. But I do find that there's definitely, you have to tread lightly in many avenues of social media about opinions related to anything that we're talking about. Because there are some people who just believe so fervently in what they believe in that they're not willing to consider or unable to consider alternative perspectives. I'm not sure. I'm guessing you probably trained at a big research university, but we were always encouraged to you know, to question things and to think beyond the obvious. And so I think that's, you know, kind of persisted into what we're doing today. And I can see the benefits of, you know, both sides. You know, Western medicine definitely has a place, but, you know, functionally focused, you know, gut health is, as you stated, you know, really the one of the most important aspects of our health. And if that's unbalanced, it creates imbalances elsewhere in the body that sometimes, you know, don't seem quite so obvious, but can be very subtle. And I'm sure even for you, Kelly, you know, practicing in mental health, I'm sure, you know, gut health is super important because we know that that is so intricate in, you know, neurotransmitter production and, you know, food and mood, as we talk about, as being so important. You know, I'm curious, Tina, when you are working on gut health with your clients, and if they're dealing with anxiety and depression, as their gut health improves, do you see an improvement in their psychological well-being as well?
Oh, absolutely. And it's fascinating. I just did this last week, I did three pediatric stool tests, and every single one of them has ADHD and maybe a little bit on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. So anxiety, you know, tends to go with that. I mean, these kids are just, they can't seem to control themselves so much. Almost every single one had, in addition to other overgrowths, had a strep overgrowth, you know, and we know a lot about PANDAS and mm-hmm. this type of thing that oftentimes is related to a strep overgrowth, but to actually see it and physically have that test in front of me that I can share with those parents and show them that there is indeed a possible excuse for why their kid is like this is so, it's so rewarding for the parents to finally have an answer, you know, and then once we tackle that and their child starts to come back and starts to, you know, have a little more eye contact or starts to be able to sit down and be calm at the dinner table, mm-hmm. simple things like that. It just, you know, I use the word empowering a lot, but I think that's the thing with getting your health back is to try to empower people to understand how their bodies work. And anxiety and depression are huge. Some of my actual symptoms that I had, in fact, that pointed to celiac disease, in fact, the first impression that I had celiac was my anxiety and depression. Cut out gluten, immediately those went away. So, you know, it's amazing how when we start to look at how are the neurotransmitters made in our body, that's in the gut. This is why probiotic foods are good. This is why we really need to get rid of some of those overgrowths that are happening so that people can make their neurotransmitters the way the body was designed. So they're not anxious. They're not depressed. They don't have these neurological issues going on. And I see so many clients with anxiety, and that's their only complaint is anxiety. It's like, well, mm-hmm. let's look at what is causing that anxiety. Is it that, you know, the gluten and the grains in your body are creating some, you know, some leaky gut, leaky brain type issue? Do you have an overgrowth creating that issue? So there's so many things to look at. But yes, anxiety, I don't know that I've seen anyone that hasn't had anxiety probably in the last 5 years, which mm-hmm. is
wow.
pretty frightening.
It is. It's really overwhelming. I spoke with a group of primary care providers who practice in DC, and I asked them approximately what percent of their population that they see experiences anxiety. And they all laughed and said like 95 to 100% have some form of anxiety as part of their presenting issue.
Wow.
But if we, they are forward thinkers, but they aren't nutritionally trained like this. So to think about, you know, the types of things that they're probably recommending for the anxiety, it's not getting to the root cause of what's really going on in their gut.
Right, right. And, you know, and the issues with the drugs, and here's something I have a big issue with is, oh, let's throw some Ativan at someone that has anxiety, or let's put them on, you know, this drug or that drug. And the issues that those drugs cause to the microbiome actually can make it worse. And then you've got the situation where someone's addicted to benzodiazepines for years and years and years. It's a bit infuriating. And this is where, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to bite the hand that feeds me. I am Western medicine trained. However, I think we need to start really looking at root cause versus just throwing a drug at things. And, you know, that's the biggest issue I have with medicine is we need to stop allowing the pharmaceutical companies to kind of take over the medical school training. And I think that's what has happened, sadly.
No, definitely. I've seen that evolution over the last 20 years. And, you know, I think that people really practiced medicine in the 1990s. And I just have seen a profound evolution. It's more concern for litigious issues.
Correct, yeah.
You know, when I worked as an ER nurse in inner city Baltimore, the physicians there, for example, really worked up a patient. And for anyone who's listening, what that represents is that they would take the time to really thoughtfully consider what was going on and spend a lot of time before they called in the specialists. And what it evolved into is that, you know, I went from working in ER medicine to cardiology as a nurse practitioner for 16 years. And when I was called down for a consult, if someone that was 20 years old who had no reason to really be admitted to the hospital had chest pain, they would call us for every consult known to man. They didn't work anyone up.
Right.
And so that, you know, there's this separation. Everyone's getting very compartmentalized and we're not thinking as thoughtfully as we probably once did. And we're relying too much on technology and not enough on physical exam skills. And gosh, I could talk to you for a whole hour just about that. But getting back to the task at hand, I would really love to get, you know, if you've got like three top tips for gut health that you could share with listeners that they would be able to use as a takeaway, I know that would really be invaluable.
So first and foremost, listen to your body. Try to find out what foods are causing you these issues. And it truly is a food probably that's triggering a lot of those issues. So listen to your body. I would have to say find a practitioner who knows what they're talking about and who can help you through this journey, because it's such a complex issue when it comes to the gut. You've got to really understand there's a lot of issue with genetics, with the microbiome, with overgrowth, with foods. There's such a complex issue. So find a good functional practitioner who can literally dig down deep to find out what those issues are. And, you know, the third one, and this is one that kind of throws people off, is I think the number one thing for all of us is find your joy. What is it that makes you happy? Take care of your body. Give yourself the sleep you need. Take out the stress. Find your joy. If that means walking in the forest, for me, it's sitting down at my piano and playing, you know, even if I play the same song for 45 minutes, that's okay. That brings me joy. If you give your body what it needs from a perspective of keeping yourself happy and then keeping yourself healthy through foods, through your environment, then you will be healthy and you'll be a lot happier. And so finding your joy is a really important part of that equation.
Oh, those are so valuable and so comprehensive. Tina, we really appreciate you being here today with us and sharing all of this valuable information with us and with our listeners. If listeners wanted to work with you or learn any more about you, can you tell us how they could do that?
Sure. I do not have a website currently, just because I am a single person and I'm doing my between working at the hospital and working this, I don't have time to maintain one. But they can contact me at tina.optimalhealth@gmail.com. Just send me an email let me know what they're interested in pursuing, and I'd be happy to chat with anyone that way.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's lovely chatting with you ladies.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find out more about Cynthia and her work at chtwellness.com. And you can find out more about Kelly and her work at everydaytherapist.com. In addition, if you have questions for us or topics you'd like us to address, please email us at everydaywellnesspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, be well.